now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. A lot of these people that have all these abilities, who have celestial star ancestry, they're operating not only throughout this cosmos, but in higher planes, and they're working against the Draco Empire. The photonic energy and the cosmic rays will activate our higher centers. And it's incumbent upon us to ride that frequency wave.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Well, interesting developments in the wake of Donald Trump's inauguration. First, we have these weird protests breaking out all over the place where women are walking around dressed as vaginas. And think of Gloria Steinem, longtime CIA asset, and her feminism. And really, that had nothing to do with feminism. It had everything to do with destroying the family and women's rights, women's equality, et cetera, et cetera. Don't treat us as a sex object, right? And these women are walking around dressed as big vaginas. Jeez, these other countries must look at the U.S. and Britain and wonder, like, what, besides the fluoride, what are they putting in the water, right? A little known fact, and I'm going to reveal a deep, dark secret in the alien abduction field. See, the vagina is an archetypal image. And what these archontic rulers do, or would-be rulers, let's say, is they like to push these archetypal images that really makes it difficult to wrap our minds around in our faces. And it affects us at a very, very deep level. Now, throughout the ages, we've had fertility cults, women's fertility cults, votive offerings given to ensure fertility for a given community. It wouldn't surprise me if a lot of these women's fertility rights down throughout the ages came about as a result, a direct result of the most recent spate of celestially driven cataclysms. Humanity needed to build up its population again, needed more people on the planet because of the mass culling as a result of these selectively driven cataclysms. So it comes as no surprise that over the years and over the centuries, over the millennia, there would be these fertility cults, right? And it would be still in honor of the divine feminine. But what we're seeing here with all these Soros-funded women's marches where they're parading around dressed as vaginas is we're seeing a complete inversion of the whole concept of the divine feminine. And these were the same people. Well, I wouldn't say the same people because a lot of the women's libbers in Gloria Steinem's time, they've kind of gone bye-bye. They've gone away. They've passed away. They're well past their dotary. This is just the new generation founded by the likes of George Soros. And it's a complete inversion of the whole concept of equality for women. At least in the old days, these faux CIA-funded, Ford Foundation-funded feminists, quote-unquote, paid lip service to equality, don't treat us as a sex object. We're going to burn our bras to make some kind of a political statement. And all of it was designed to destroy the family in the long run. Boy, howdy, did they do a good job of that. But what we're seeing today with the parades and these protests of these empty vessel freaked out women, well, that's working at a very deep archetypal level. And really has nothing to do with the fertility cults that I mentioned earlier. here's the dark secret I alluded to. And those of you out there, males and females that have had alien abduction experiences, you will know through experience, and some of you may have blown these experiences off because you didn't know how to quantify them. You didn't know what kind of conceptual framework in which to regard it, because it worked on such a deep archetypal level that it made you even question your own sanity, perhaps. And I'm getting to the concept of sex, because just as the advertising types tell you, sex sells, but also for social engineering purposes, sex sells. Well, in an archetypal, deep soul level, sex also works. And many people that have had astral experiences know that the lower astral is highly charged sexually. We are sexual beings. These are archontic negative entities, negative beings such as the negative grays and negative reptilians and all these negs. They've evinced this obsession with human sexuality, not just for genetic hybridization purposes, au contraire. They also like to tinker with human sexuality if they decide to slot someone into a certain category, behavior modification-wise. They may manipulate someone so they go through, let's say, some gender confusion. Let's say that these entities have the ability to alter someone's sexual orientation. So they're really into sexual manipulation all across the board. And I want the alien abductees listening to scan your memory banks and see if you have had the kind of experience that I'm talking about. In a lot of the sexual manipulated experiences, like the bait and switch I've talked about, where a male abductee, a male hybrid, is having a stage managed dream and a reptilian entity has entered into a sleeping body, created a stage managed dream, and has set things up so the guy thinks he's about to have sex with the desirable woman. And just as he initiates intercourse, he gets sodomized by a reptilian. And this is done repetitively until they get the desired changes, or the desired changes behaviorally, psychologically, sexually don't work, and then they try something else on the person, right? And the lower astral planes are very highly charged sexually anyway. And what the reptilians and some of the grays and other negative entities do is, in some of these stage-managed dreams, we will be confronted by a very large, seemingly living vagina. It could be 4 or 5 feet across. The detail on it, it looks like it's alive. It looks like it's got, like, sweat. It looks like it's almost breathing. And it's very large, and it's in our field of vision. It's right in front of us. And also, while we're witnessing this archetypal spectacle, the reptilians and other negative beings are manipulating our sexual chakra, our base chakra. So we find ourselves in a highly aroused, sexually aroused state, and where we're confronted by a very large vagina. Now, understand, not only do male abductees report this, female abductees report this as well. So, this archetypal image of a very large vagina in front of us in a stage managed dream, and this very large vagina, there is not a body connected to it. It is a standalone vagina. So what I'm saying is, it's not there in front of you beneath a huge pair of legs. right? Like a giant is standing in front of you and you happen to be standing at just the right height and looking right at this vagina. No, no, no. It is a standalone vagina. And it's got all the anatomical parts, pubic hair, all the parts. Except the only difference is it's very large. It seems to be even breathing. It seems to be alive. And it seems to be emitting this powerful sexual energy. Meanwhile, our sexual chi, our kundalini, our lower chakras are being manipulated to put us in the arousal state. And then we wake up in the morning and we say, WTF, what the hell was that all about? Because there's no context, there's no conceptual framework with which to understand why one would have a dream of a large vagina. It just, there's no context for it, right? And so that's the first thing I thought about when I saw all these empty vessel manipulated Muppet women disgracing themselves walking around dressed as vaginas. It's archetypal. It's working at an archetypal level. And I'm telling you, for those people out there that are under severe reptilian sexual behavior modification, the image of women parading around dressed as vaginas, that might just send them over the top, all right? So I just wanted to get that right out at the get-go, that deep, dark secret. I've only talked about this subject on a handful of occasions. I discussed it with Barbara Bartholik, my mentor, the late, great Barbie Bartholik, my spiritual mama. I talk with Barbie about anything. The reps, any negative entities would do the most painful, degrading, humiliating things to me. At night and the next morning, I would be on the phone, full debrief, clinical discussion with Barbie. And after a while, it was like we developed such a database, right, of data of Barbie and I, because she'd already been in the field for 30 years plus. And basically, she'd seen and heard it all. And she'd spoken and worked with countless abductees, especially as regards the sexual manipulation, gender reorientation agenda, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So when I talked to Barbie about these issues, I did it with no shame whatsoever. I'm a spiritual warrior. They mess with me, I retaliate by fully briefing Barbie on everything that I heard, everything I felt, everything I remembered. And then she would provide me insight based on her 30 plus years of alien abduction research. That's what we did. The reptilians in particular made a lot of mistakes as far as I'm concerned, because they thought they could mess with me in particular. And I just kind of just curl up into a fetal position and suck my thumb. It never occurred to them that my curiosity, my righteous indignation would overwhelm by a huge margin my fear and whatever shame and whatever humiliation I may have felt. When I would brief Barbie, I did so without any shame, any hesitation whatsoever. We had a clinical discussion. Two adults, veterans of the cosmic wars, spiritual warriors. And I learned a lot this way, and Barbie learned a lot this way. It was a mutually beneficial relationship she and I had. And so, yes, we talked about this huge vagina issue, as well as other issues that dealt with sex. Because, again, we humans are sexual beings, and these negative entities of all stripes have manifested time and again an obsession with human sexuality. Because we are resonators, emitters of feelings, emotions, sexual energies. And a lot of these beings want to tap into that. Not only do they want to parasitically feed off that sexual energy, they want to manipulate and change people's sexual orientation, change people's sexual predilections and preferences, so they can feed on people even more. Another thing that should be pointed out is that the organizer for the Women's March is none other than Salah Sarsour, a Palestinian Muslim who happens to be connected to Hamas. Very interesting, and it shows how this manipulation works at a number of different levels. Right off the bat, you see the old, let's hate on Palestinians because they're all terrorists and they're evil and they want to destroy us. The old demonize the Palestinians meme. And people with pretty much a Fox News / InfoWars mentality. InfoWars basically nowadays just a half rung above the Fox News memes. There's really not much difference between them anymore. Where did Hamas come from? Well, depending on your source, back in the day, true intelligence professionals would have told you, not the frauds from the American Enterprise Institute, not the frauds from the Near East Institute, or frauds like Neil Livingstone, the so-called terrorism expert of the 70s and the 80s, or Rand, none of them. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about real, true intelligence professionals. They would have told you that, depending on the source, Hamas was created either by Shin Bet, Israeli Internal Security, or Mossad. And who comes rocking up as the leader of the Women's March, the women walking around with vagina costumes? It's none other than a woman, a Palestinian-American woman, who has connections with Hamas. Woo, woo. And see how that also feeds into the anti-Islamic meme as well. It's working at a number of different levels, folks. It must be understood that when Al-Fatah, the original resistance movement, which coalesced generically regarded as the Palestine Liberation Organization, their goals were pretty straightforward. They wanted to get Palestine back, and they were not going to settle for a two-state partition, right? That's how all these problems started in the first place. Someone, either on behalf of the Palestinians or the Palestinians themselves, settled for a two-state partition, and that wasn't good enough for some people. And we see how these two-state partitions work, like, for example, in the subcontinent, Pakistan and India. That was a settlement, so-called, that was designed to create decades and decades and decades of conflict. No. The original PLO's charter was to basically regain Palestine. And it must be remembered and understood that the original PLO was largely Christian and to some degree secular. Yes, there were some Muslims involved, but there were many of them were Christians. How many people know that? How many people know that the PLO was basically, essentially, anti-Sharia? It was only later, when these fake splinter groups were created, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, under a Marxist George Habash, red flag right off the bat. Anything to do with communism, socialism, anything with a revolutionary kind of tag, a revolutionary meme, whether it's Arab or whether it's European, i.e. the Italian Red Brigades, the German Red Army faction, Action Direct of France, they're all basically coming from the same collectivist source. And then, of course, the two sides of the same coin, puppets on both sides being played by the same source, the West, NATO, has to counter that, and then they came up with a bright idea of Operation Gladio, setting off all these terrorist attacks, bombings, etc., and then blaming it on the Italian Red Brigades, blaming it on the German Red Army faction, blaming it on the Bader-Meinhof gang in Germany. Well, Bader-Meinhof were useful idiots if there ever was one. So I'm giving you, listeners, just a capsule rundown of how all these fake terror memes were created back in the day, right? And so now we have this woman, Salah Sarsour Rahcab, a member of Hamas, a woman who is an ardent believer of Sharia law. It's another irony. All these women walking around in vagina outfits are being handled, essentially, by a Soros-funded woman who believes in Sharia law, being veiled. Put veils over those big vaginas. That would make more sense to me, right? So you have this Sharia woman with the mindset, and this was all created by these Pakistani ISI, Saudi, created madrasas in Pakistan and elsewhere, the Gulf states, where there were entire schools, Saudi Gulf state petrodollar funded, and the whole Saudi meme is just another side of the coin of the whole collectivist meme. It's all the same. That's why the Israelis and the Saudis always gang up on Yemen. If you study the history of the conflicts with Yemen going back decades, that's just a blatant example of where the Saudis and the Israelis are tag-teaming on a particular country, using the excuse of fighting communism, of course, back in the day. So this Salah Sarsour woman is Sharia, and it goes back also, folks, to the original charter of the PLO. They didn't have this concept of a pan-Muslim, pan-Islamic concept where they're going to create a caliphate and have all of the Middle East turn into a Sharia kind of regime empire. No, no, no. Original PLO's charter was much more modest and meaningful to them. They just wanted to get their country back. It was only these Shin Bet Mossad-created organizations that came up with all these different memes, this pan-Arab, pan-Islamic meme of creating and making all these different countries in the Mediterranean, the Middle East, the Near East, and extending further and further outwards into like a large Sharia Wahhabist, Salafist form of control. That had nothing to do with the original PLO. And I mentioned in previous commentaries how Black September was created, right? I just think it's just ironic that all these brain-dead women walking around with vaginas, you know, in vagina costumes, are being commanded by a woman who is pushing Sharia law, and she's a Palestinian, so that fosters the hate on Palestine meme, which works wonders in all these Christian Zionists and all these Fox News viewers and a lot of these info warriors who are just a half rung above the Fox News warriors. So this whole vagina march, Sharia march, it works at a number of different levels. And let's see how this plays out. It should be understood that this control mechanism has always strived to destroy the feminine principle, the divine feminine, because the women in particular and the divine feminine, when it's working in proper balance within males, that's where intuition comes from. That's where extrasensory perception comes from. That's where gut instinct and remote viewing and purposeful, intention-driven astral travel comes from. And not wallowing in the lower planes, in the lower astral planes. I'm talking about in higher dimensions and learning through astral experiences. Okay? So this thing Well, this whole Women's March works on a number of different levels. One other thing about the whole seeing a large, living, breathing, archetypal vagina staring at your face in your grill. I didn't mean to imply that all abductees experience this, only that some have. And I encourage those of you who've had a similar experience to take note of it and see if it's had any effect on you at a deep soul archetypal level, because the whole intention of putting in your face was to engender some kind of outcome, some kind of feeling or change within you. Anyway, I thought I'd throw that out there because they're putting it in our face now. Where do you think these ideas come from? You look at George Soros, he's a friggin' lizard. Hooded eyelids, the whole thing. He's got it all going on. George Soros does. So is it any wonder that, you know, from an archetypal basis and archetypal images, they affect us at the soul level? We're being confronted by these freaky hosted women dressed as vaginas. Okay. I don't want to belabor the point, but working on archetypes, these negative forces are. So recognize it for what it is. Let it wash over you like water off a duck's back and move on. Okay, third day in office, Donald Trump signs off an executive order, pulls the U.S. out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And this has had a knock-on effect on a number of countries, not just in the U.S. I mean, people that know about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP, and what it means to national sovereignty, what it means to the local economy, what it means to life itself, they're having a hallelujah breakdown, and I can't blame them, because this is a big deal. Let's see where it leads. Let's see what Trump does to follow this up. This is going to upset a lot of corporations, and it's going to bring a lot of industry, a lot of jobs, etc., commerce, back into the U.S., which is 100%, 180 degrees rather, in the opposite direction from what the controllers have had in mind for a long time, basically gutting, coring out the U.S., shipping out all of its manufacturing, all of its corporations overseas where they can pay their employees chump change, not worry about things like occupational safety and health, not worry about things like benefits or employee insurance or anything like that, just take advantage of the sweatshop slave labor. And as a result, for many years, the U.S. economy and then the U.S. standard of living has suffered. So, very interesting development. And he did this on the third day of office. Let's see. I'm still open-minded about all of this. I'm still open-minded about Donald Trump. I like to observe. I like to watch. See if I can pick up any trends. Let's see how this plays out. What we're seeing at the outset from Donald Trump also is contradictory behavior. And one has to factor in the fact that he may not be calling the shots. Most presidents don't. Some have more authority than others. Think of George the Elder Bush, but he had to do what he was told as well. So on the one hand, he's signing off on an executive order, pulling the U.S. out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. On the other, he's likewise signing off on an executive order giving the go-ahead for the Dakota Access Pipeline again. And this was what the whole Native American resistance to the oil companies was all about, which a lot of people had breathed a sigh of relief several weeks back, thinking that, okay, we won. Well, I always thought of it as maybe won the first round, but now Trump has gone ahead and signed off on the work to continue in the Dakota Access Pipeline. So basically back to square one again. And it begs the question, why would he want to do that to the Native Americans, right? I wouldn't say thrice ganked Native Americans. How about innumerable times ganked Native Americans, as well as all the flora and fauna and the non-Native Americans in that region as well, because sooner or later the place is going to be so polluted. It's unavoidable outcome of these kind of oil drilling, oil pipeline operations. And on the other hand, Trump also reiterated his stance on the Second Amendment, saying that Americans have the right to bear arms and the right to bear arms shall not be infringed, period, full stop. Well, that's all well and good. Tell to the psychopath cops on the beat, right? He's just saying something that he really cannot enforce, because what's going on at the local and state level, basically going on all across the U.S., is unremitting, unrelieved police brutality. We're talking about the Fourth Amendment, which guarantees against unlawful search and seizure of one's person, property, papers. That's already out the window. You have these no-knock raids all over the place. These psychopathic cops are going around shooting dogs for fun, shooting dogs like it's going out of style, because the type of candidates they recruit into the police forces are basically reptilian Draco-human hybrids with a bloodlust. And also, the no-knock warrantless raids that I mentioned, oftentimes it'll be based on some spurious, non-existent informant who said that, oh, drugs are being sold at that residence. Next thing you know, here comes a SWAT team, stacked eight deep, bang, bang. Or they can make up other stories. Oh, there's a missing child, or there's a suspect in the neighborhood. And so they go around into people's yards, into people's homes, shooting people's dogs. Or if someone has the audacity to grow crops, grow vegetables and fruits in their own yard because of the collectivization that's going on once again, here comes a police raid. So really, when Trump says, I am for the Second Amendment, it really means nothing. It reminds me of these Oath Keepers. These Oath Keepers are thumping on their chests, blowing smoke about how they're standing up to the feds in defense of the Second Amendment, in defense of citizens' rights to bear arms. And it means nothing. As the grunts in Vietnam used to say, it don't mean nothing. Because a lot of these sheriffs are thumping on their chests saying, I'm standing up for the citizenry. I'm standing up for the Second Amendment. Meanwhile, their deputy sheriffs are pulling off no-knock raids, shooting dogs like it's going out of style, pulling over motorists for no reason, beating the hell out of people. And also the police brutality that's going on in their jurisdiction, that's still going on nonstop. These are militarized cops, that Pentagon program, which results in millions and millions of dollars worth of military equipment, brand new, being given over to these cops from the smallest podunk precinct to the largest municipal precinct. And they're psychopaths to begin with. Most of them reptilian hybrids, Draco hybrids, with a bloodlust. Many of them are perps. And so when these Oath Keepers blow smoke about, well, I'm standing up for the Second Amendment, I'm standing up to the federal government, it means nothing. Because what they should do, action speaks louder than words. Talk's cheap, action speaks louder than words. They should get their own patch in order. They should get their own jurisdictions in order. When they can come to the people and say, okay, we've stopped all these no-knock warrantless raids. We've stopped these cops from running amok, harassing people, beating people up, shooting people, shooting dogs for no reason. When they can prove they've done that first, then they can blow smoke about standing up on behalf of the Second Amendment, standing up on behalf of the right of citizens to bear arms. And until they do that, then they're just a waste of time as far as I'm concerned. And then here comes Trump blowing smoke about, well, I'm for the Second Amendment. It means nothing in the overall scheme of things. It's just basically throwing a bone. So, signs off on EO, pulling the U.S. out of the TPP, canned applause, and then he signs off on EO, renewing the Keystone Pipeline, renewing the Dakota Access Pipeline, boo hiss, makes a public statement standing up for the right of Americans to bear arms, crickets chirping, swamp sounds, means nothing, as the grunts and nom used to say. It don't mean a thing, don't mean nothing. Yeah, contradictory behavior. Doing one thing and then doing another. Left, right, up, down. We'll see how it plays out. And like I said earlier, it's as far as attacking the ISIS, well, which ISIS is it? Is it the real ISIS that's been backed by the West, NATO, the U.S.? Or is it just hapless villagers who happen to be out for a wedding or doing exercises in the field? I'm reminded of the story I read. It was a book by Damian Lewis talking about the British Special Boat Service in Afghanistan. And they had eyes on the ground on this village. And the American intel said there was something big going on in this village. And they were ready to bomb it back to the Stone Age and beyond. So the SBS set eyes on the ground, an OBS team, and then they go and they check it out. And what it is was the village elders were taking all the kids out, dozens of them, out to do morning exercises. And here's the Americans wanting to blast the crap out of this village because they thought it was some kind of Taliban, Al-Qaeda stronghold. Then the Brit SBS go there and say, no, it's just kids exercising. Down, boy, down. Call off your airstrikes. Call off your drone strikes. One trend that I am noticing is this purposeful effort at making a savior or a messiah out of Donald Trump. We saw something similar with Obama. But with Trump, what's coming out on the news feeds on Facebook are fictitious stories put out by the likes of Sorcha Fall, a notorious disinformation shill on the internet. Sorcha Fall specializes in putting out feel-good stories against the New World Order. Things that people would like to happen. Feel-good stories that people want to see transpire. Things that make it seem as if the New World Order is losing. And so suddenly we see these stories coming out which have not been verified and have not been substantiated of Trump orders an FBI raid on the CDC. Trump does this, Trump does that. We have to not allow ourselves to be pulled into the Messiah, Savior, want to have, need to have a Messiah, need to have a Savior complex. Again, like I said earlier, talk's cheap, actions speak louder than words. And contradictory behavior, which ultimately benefits the corporations once again, i.e. the Dakota Access Pipeline, etc., etc. Well, we have to look into that. Another thing that people have to understand is apparently Donald Trump's mentor was Roy Cohn. C-O-H-N. That's a name that people out there should do some research on. Roy Cohn. Apparently, he was a mentor to Donald Trump, a young Donald Trump. Take the time out to study that guy's career. But anyway, getting back to the Messiah-Savior complex, we're starting to see a number of stories. Unsubstantiated stories of Trump ordering this, Trump ordering that, ordering the FBI to raid the CDC, right? And that's another thing that's interesting too, is And I hope something comes out of this, how he's appointed Robert Kennedy Jr. as the person to investigate the efficacy and safety of vaccines. Now, I hope that Bobby Kennedy hasn't, Jr. hasn't been turned. I mean, his uncle, he has had two uncles bumped off. Not many people know this, but Joseph Kennedy Jr. was sent off on a suicide mission in, I think, August 1944 in World War II. He was a long-distance Navy B-24 pilot. The B-24 had a much longer range than the B-17 Flying Fortress. The B-24 Liberator was modified by the Navy for anti-submarine patrols and naval ocean surveillance. And Joseph Kennedy Jr. was regarded as one of the best B-24 Navy pilots in the business. Somehow, he got pulled into a project called Operation Aphrodite, and it involved the use of drones. Drones have been in existence for a long time. In a nutshell, it was a suicide mission. A remotely piloted B-24, a radio piloted B-24, would be loaded down with explosives. Joseph Kennedy would fly it over France, and then he would bail out, and a trailing plane would direct the B-24 loaded with explosives down onto a missile site. And people who checked out the electronics, the circuitry, as far as the explosives on board the plane were concerned, were saying, this is so faulty, these charges could go off, and they can just go off all of a sudden without even any remote radio commands, right? Well, that was the whole idea. Long story short, sometime in August 1944, Joseph Kennedy Jr. was piloting the B-24. He stopped piloting it. The trailing plane was at that point going to remotely pilot the B-24 into the German missile site. Meanwhile, Joseph Kennedy Jr. was supposed to bail out. He didn't bail out. The plane blew up in midair. Suicide mission. That's one Kennedy 86th. Okay? People always think about Bobby Kennedy and Jack Kennedy. No, they were not the first Kennedy sons to be bumped off. Joseph Kennedy Jr. was bumped off in Operation Aphrodite on a suicide mission in World War II. Of course, you know what happened to Jack Kennedy, and you know what happened to Bobby Kennedy Sr. So hopefully, the fact that Robert Kennedy Jr. has had a father and two uncles bumped off, maybe this will make it well nigh impossible for Robert Kennedy Jr. to be bought off or be intimidated. And he has been on this crusade exposing the dangers of vaccines. More power to him. And Donald Trump has appointed him to apparently take part in some committee or something to check out the dangers of vaccines. Let's see how far that goes. But as far as that goes, I believe that. As far as these raids on the CDC are concerned, I'm not so sure about. So, again, we have to watch out and be careful we don't get sucked into this Messiah Savior complex where Donald Trump is concerned. Talks cheap, action speaks louder than words. We're having contradictory behavior in the early going. Pulling the U.S. out of the TPP, EO allowing the Dakota Access Pipeline to go on, appointing Robert Kennedy Jr., a known anti-vaccine crusader, to take part in a committee about vaccine safety, throwing a bone about the Second Amendment. Let's see what happens. Shifting gears now, I'd like to talk about the madcap berserk psychopath driver in Melbourne who ran down a number of people, killed a few of them, and severely injured a number of others. Unlike Nice, France, which was a complete hoax, false flag event, with all these screaming crisis actors, terrified or acting terrified, posing for the cameras and pretending to run away in terror. What happened in Melbourne last week seems to be the real deal. I've seen videos of people, CCTV cameras in stores, people running into the stores for safety, fleeing for their lives, as this berserk driver drives right along the sidewalks, trying to run people down. You see people outside on the street and the sidewalks who don't run into the store. They're fleeing for safety, diving out of the way. That was real. And the driver's name was Dimitrios Gargasoulis, and his nickname was Jimmy. Dimitrios Jimmy Gargasoulis. And what's been happening with Melbourne lately? A few weeks back, you have this mysterious asthma thunderstorm, or thunderstorm asthma. In the old days, when you look up clouds, like in the Encyclopedia Britannica, there'd be like six or seven different clouds, right? And then we have the chemtrail era, where we look up and we see a perma chemtrail haze. And so what NASA and these other agencies have been doing is just basically making up names for chemtrails, chemtrail patterns. They come up with this Latin-sounding name and say, oh, that's the name of a cloud now. And they have these books printed with illustrations for children that show all these chem clouds and chem trails and chem bombs and whatnot. But they all have snazzy Latin-sounding names to fool the children and the young people into thinking they're natural and they're real. And now they come out with this asthma thunderstorm. We're supposed to believe that asthma thunderstorms have existed since the dawn of time. Asthma thunderstorm pops up, thousands and thousands of people flock to the emergency departments with respiratory problems, a number of people die, and then, next thing you know, this mind-controlled nutter runs over a bunch of people in Melbourne's CBD, Central Business District. And of course, surprise, surprise, this crazed Melbourne driver, Dimitrios Jimmy Gargasoulis, has a bunch of rants on Facebook. Of course he does. Just like the guy in the fake hoaxed Aurora, Colorado event. He's got to have all these Facebook rants. The Jimmy, I forget the guy's name, who supposedly shot up and killed exactly 33 students at Virginia Tech University several years back. Of course, he's got these rants on Facebook and on social media. But the difference in this particular case, there have been fatalities, there have been people killed, and this Gargasoulis character supposedly made a bunch of Facebook comments. And what does he sound like? He sounds like a raving conspiracy theorist nut. Of course he does. He's raving about and raging against the Illuminati. He's raging against cops, implying that he would like to kill cops. He's implying that people needed to harm cops. So he's checking off all the boxes. Against the Illuminati? Check. Anti-cop rant? Check. Conspiracy, paranoid, delusional ranting? Check. And clearly, the impression and the image the powers that be want to convey is that this Dimitrios Jimmy Gargasoulis is a conspiracy theorist nutter who's dangerous. And by extension, oh, he also talked about asteroids coming and impacting the Earth. Oh, you mean like the Younger Dryas event, which happened, oh, anywhere from 9,000-12,000 years ago, that caused a global cataclysm? You mean like that kind of event? So now they're making it seem that anyone who talks about asteroids or near-Earth objects or comets and celestially driven cataclysms, may potentially jump into a car and run people over. Anyone who rants about the Illuminati can potentially jump into a car and run people over. Anyone who rants about the police and talks about police brutality, oh yeah, they can jump into the car and become a mobile terrorist. It's interesting how they work this out. And the moment I heard about this guy running people over, I knew that they're going to find a bunch of Facebook rants, Facebook posts, etc., etc. It's so predictable. It really is. So what are we to make of this? Oh, well, once again, they're doing their darndest to demonize people that know what's going on in the world, characterize them as being dangerous, potentially dangerous, as being domestic terrorists, as being people who can fly off the handle, jump into their car, and run you over. In America, the cops are just shooting people and claiming that, oh, he was going to run us over, so we shot the person down, shot bullets through the windshield, and killed the person because, well, the vehicle is an extension of the person, and the person is dangerous. We're in fear for our lives, etc., etc., etc. We've seen this before. The victim-aggressor mentality, which has been imbued into all these cops, right? So for some time now, they've just been shooting people, have the audacity to start their motors and, you know, want to drive away from a party or something. And now you have this mind-controlled nutter driving around. And supposedly they shot him, injured him. Did they really shoot him? Did he really get zapped with a bullet? Did he really bleed out? Or was he an actor? Was he an operative? Was he playing a role? We don't know. We just don't know. All we have is the story, and now the backstory about him having paranoid fears about the Illuminati, about asteroids impacting Earth, about various conspiracy theories, so-called, and rants against the cops. So, you know, they got all their bases covered. Check, 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 check. And again, like, you know, why is Melbourne being hit so hard? The thunderstorm asthma thunderstorm, whatever the hell they're calling it. And now this. A few years back, New South Wales was hit. I'm absolutely convinced New South Wales was hit by a weather weapon. It wasn't the first time. It wasn't the last time. Large parts of New South Wales, Sydney and other parts, north and south, were without power for many days because of a weather weapon. And the powers that be can create these weather weapons out of the blue, as it were, or out of a chemtrail haze. So weather is being used. Electromagnetic frequencies are being used. Oh, another thing that the fake scientists and the fake cloud experts are talking about these days are fire rainbows. Oh, look at the pretty fire rainbows. And so they post a picture of these wispy chemtrails, and then you see these light phenomena effects, a rainbow prismatic effect, and they just make up a term. They have a Latin-sounding name for them, of course, but they, as a nickname, call it a fire rainbow. Really, it's electromagnetic frequencies harping that's having an effect on the chemtrails and creating the light phenomena effect. But they just make up a name right on the spot. It's a fire rainbow, right? Weather weaponry, mind-controlled nutters turned loose, or maybe he was some operative and he never really was shot. I don't know. There were two young men, credit to them, who ran out into the street in this downtown area of Melbourne with baseball bats, and they tried to stop this guy, right? More power to him. Most people just, well, understandably, got out of the way and headed for high ground. But these two young men tried to make a difference and stop the guy. Good on them. So anyhow, that's what's been going on in the last few days, in the last couple of weeks. As this energetic frequency shift continues, we can expect to see more and more berserk behavior on the part of those that are not handling this energetic shift very well. So everybody, stay grounded, wear your hematite bracelets, work with your tensor rings, work with your orgone, stay embodied, stay grounded, maintain your inner harmony, and thank you for listening to this week's edition of Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars, and we will see you next week.